Okay, so Chesedine Omabe's 16 lines from the bottom, the line begins Tluya. So we talked about in the Mishnah about a couple of different cases where you have fences that are only one or the other, only Shesi or only Erev. For example, you have a fence made only out of ropes, one on top of the other, where you have the spaces between the ropes and the thickness of the ropes are such that you have 10 tefachim without ever having a gap of 3 tefachim. And then we have the other way around where you can have a fence made entirely out of stakes. You can have a fence that's made entirely out of stakes, so you only have a vertical thing and not horizontal. You have only Shesi or only Erev. Now we had a machloikus in the Mishnah at the end. The Mishnah had started out by saying that the previous Mishnah actually had described that we're talking about a sheyara. We're talking about a caravan, three or more people that are traveling, and they stop for Shabbos, and they put up a makeshift fence like that. So the question is, does a makeshift fence like that, which is what's called mechitza grua, it's not a high-quality mechitza as far as Shabbos, because it consists of only Shesi or only Erev, does that work? So sort of Yehuda in the Mishnah had said that works only for a sheyara, only for a caravan, whereas the Chachamim had said it works more generally as well. It works for them, it works for other groups as well. Lo dibur b'sheyara, ela b'hoiva, the Chachamim only talked about a caravan because that's the normal situation where you would put up something makeshift like that. Then we had another machlokas in the Mishnah, which was that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda had said that if a fence doesn't consist of Shesi and Erev, of vertical and horizontal components, then it's not considered a mechitza as far as Shabbos, says Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. The Chum say it can be one or the other. So, the assumption is, by the way, that all of this is one big machlokas, in which case, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, you have altogether four different opinions over here. I mentioned yesterday, the Avnei Nezer asked a number of questions on that, one of them being that the way the Mishnah phrases it, Kol Mechitza She'ein Shel Shesi V'Shel Erev, sounds like it's beginning a new Machlokas rather than just a continuation of the old one. Plus, we're going to see something in the Gemara over here about what Rav Nachman says, that he's going partly like Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda and partly like the Chachamim. Why don't we just say he's going like Rabbi Yehuda? So the Avnei Nezer instead explains, following the Rif Shita, that actually what it is you have two separate machlokas in over here. You have Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing not so much about this question of mechitza grua, but more generally, can you have a mechitza like that that's meant that encloses, that just a makeshift mechitza like that, even if it's both Shesi and Erev, that encloses an area in a valley or a field or wherever these people are staying for Shabbos, does that work as far as the Gemara is going to say, now, as far as being able to carry in the enclosure, no matter how large it is? That's the first machlokas. Then you have a second machlokas. Let's say you can, but then the question is, does it have to be a proper mechitza of Shesi ve'erev, or only one or the other is enough? So according to Avnei Nezer, you actually have two different machlokas in over here. But according to Rashi, it's all one machlokas. So okay, so we said in the Mishnah Makifin Bakonim Chola. So the Gemara says B'Sheyara Ein B'Yachid Loi. So apparently Rabbi Yehuda is saying that this whole heter of using a mechitza grua, of using a mechitza like this, which is not a full fledged mechitza because it's only vertical or only horizontal, Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the Mishnah it works only for a Sheyara. But Sheyara Dibru, they're only talking about a Sheyara, a caravan. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda would say it doesn't work for an individual at all. The problem with that is, the problem is, we learn in a braise, Rabbi Yehuda says, all mechitzes of Shabbos, meaning these kinds of makeshift mechitzes that are only Shesi or only Erev, where we're only being mocked to them, as Rashi says, we would rather not have to, because we would rather that a mechitza be something more proper, but we are allowing it in this scenario. So such mechitzes, lohi tiru l'yachid yosim beis sasayim. We don't allow it for a yachid to be able to carry in more than beis sasayim. Beis sasayim, we've talked about before, is an area 5,000 square amas, which is equal in size to the chotzer of the Mishkan. We're going to learn in the next perek a number of rules about enclosures that are more than basic asayim, when you're allowed to carry in them, when you're not. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that a mechitza grua is fine for a yochid as long as it's less than basic asayim. So what are you telling me in the Mishnah that it's only for a shayara? The answer is kid amar of Nachman v'itamer of Bibi Barbaya. The answer is like what Rav Nachman, or some say Rav Bibi Bar Abaya, said in a different context, which we're going to quote in a second. Lo nitzrucha ela litan lahen kol tzarkon. You're right. What we mean is not as far as whether you can carry in there at all, but whether you're allowed to carry in there in as much space as you need, even if it's larger than beis hasayim. Hachinami litan lahen kol tzarkon. The same thing we can answer over here. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't mean that mechitzas gruas are not good for a yachid at all. What he means is exactly that. For a yachid can use mechitzas gruas, but he's limited to an area of beis hasayim. If that enclosure encloses an area of more than 5,000 square amos, then he can't carry in it on Shabbos. As opposed to a shayara, we're allowing them even an area larger than beis hasayim, as we're going to say soon. And then the Chachamim say that no, the same heter applies to a yachid as well. So a yachid as well, if he needs an area larger than beis hasayim, then he's able to enclose that with a mechitza grua and carry in it on Shabbos. Okay. So heicha itmar de Rav Nachman v'itamer of Bibi Bar Abaya. Where is the original context where Rav Nachman or Rav Bibi Bar Abaya said their statement? Good morning, Ellie. Where's the original context? We always say Rav Bibi Bar Abaya, by the way. It's a known thing. We've quoted it before, that the Shalach Kaddish says that actually the name is supposed to be Bevi. Anyway, whatever. So where did Rav Nachman or Rav Bibi or Rav Bibi Bar Abaya say their statement? Aha, the original context of the statement, well, we're on Test Zayin Amud Bey, is about 12 lines from the bottom. So they said it in connection with the following din. The Tanan. We learn in our Mishnah. We said on the last din in our Mishnah. We said Kol Mechitza She'enish Al Shasi Ve'Edav Ena Mechitza Divir Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Where Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that a Mechitza is not a valid Mechitza to carry in on Shabbos unless it's Shasi Ve'Edav, unless it has both vertical and horizontal components. So now the question was, did Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda actually say that? How could he say that a mechitza needs both shesi and erev for anybody to carry in it? V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, echad yachid ve'echad sheyara l'chavolim. An individual or a sheyara, a caravan, can use ropes, as we described in the Mishnah, where you have three ropes, where you have a gap less than three tefachim from the ground to the first rope. A rope which is a third of a tefach, a little more than a third of a tefach wide, another gap, another rope, another gap, another rope. Altogether, none of the gaps are three tefachim, so all of them are lovered, and the ropes themselves add up to more than a tefach, so you have, between the whole thing, 10 tefachim, so you have a mechitza. So the Braisa says, both a yachid, both an individual and a shayara can use that. Uma ben yachid b'shayara. So what's the difference then between a yachid and a shayara? Yochid noisim beis sasayim. The difference is like this. If it's one individual who encloses such an area, the most he can carry in is beis sasayim, 5,000 square amos. Shnayim noisim lahem beis sasayim. If it's two people also, they're limited to beis sasayim. Now, yeah, some of the mafoshim explain that what he means is that each of them gets beis sasayim, so they'd have total four, the area of four sa. Other mafoshim say that no, since two is not yet a shayara, it means they're also limited altogether to two sasai, to two sa. Gimel, once you have three people, Nasu Shayara, now already that's considered in Halacha, Shayara, a caravan, Vinosanan Beis Sheish, and you can give them the area of six Sa. Remember, each area of a Sa is 50 by 50 Amos, 2,500 square Amos. So Beis Sasayim is 5,000, 50 by 100. Beis Arba Sin, Beis Sheish Sin, whatever here we're talking about, Beis Sheish Sin, would be an area where you could plant six of wheat or barley or whatever it is. So it's six times 50 times, it's six times 50 by 50.
So it changes once you go from two to three people. That's when it changes.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. That's one second. That's what we're saying. When we go from two to three people, it now becomes a shayara, and a shayara has different rules. So now each person gets beis sasayim. Each person gets 5,000 square amas. So you have six of them now. They're entitled to enclose an area of 15,000 square amas and be able to carry in it. Divir Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. This is what Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says. V'chamrim echad yachad ve'echad shayara. Nachum say no. Whether you're talking about an individual or shayara, nursing lehem kol tzokon, you give them as much space as they need. So if you have a yachid happens to have a lot of stuff with him, for example, and he needs to be able to, he needs a larger amount of space to store it, then he's allowed to count. Then he's allowed to enclose an area of more than beis sasayim. Although vad shaloyeh beis sasayim ponuri, as long as you don't have beis sasayim that's empty, we'll see in the Gemara soon what we mean by empty. Anyway, the point is, even Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda agrees that you can use a mechitza grua. Even Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda is saying that you are allowed to use this low quality mechitza, which is only shesi or only erev. All it is you're limited to beis sasayim. So what do you mean? So what do you mean? So again, why in the Mishnah is he, why in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda saying that a mechitza that's not shesi and erev is not a valid mechitza, which makes it sound like it's no good at all. So on that, Amar Rav Nachman, Vitamer Rav Bibi Bar Abaya, Lenitzrucha Elalit Mahen Kol Tzorkon. Right, what Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda means is not whether such a mechitza works at all, but whether it works to give an individual or a shayara Kol Tzorkon as much space as they need, even if it's more than the space that the Chachamim allotted to them. So that not. In other words, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda would say, if you have a shayara, let's say, so you have this caravan of people, if they use proper mechitzas, then they can, which are shesi and erev, then they can have as much space as they need, as long as they don't leave a beis sasayim empty, as we'll see soon what empty means for this purpose. But if they're using mechitzas gruas, then three people are limited to six sa. Or limited to 15,000 square amas, if they're using mechitzas gruas. So he doesn't mean that mechitzas gruas are not valid mechitzas at all. When he says, kol mechitza she'enish or shesi v'shalav ain't a mechitza, he doesn't mean it's not a mechitza at all. He just means it's not a mechitza. It's a weak mechitza, and therefore it's no good for more than beis sasayim per person. No, they can share each other's is the point. Now that they're a shayara, they're all able to carry within that beis sheshesim. Right. So both on the statement of Rabbi Yehuda and the statements of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Bibi Bar Abaya are explaining that neither of them are saying mechitzas gruas are not valid mechitzas at all for a yachid or for a shayara. They're just saying that you have the limitation of beis sasayim if you use such mechitzas. And again, the idea is, we talked about the other day, and we're going to talk about in the next parak, about this concept of beis sasayim. The general rule is if there's something defective about the enclosure, then we limit it to beis sasayim. So defective can mean, we talked about the other day, for example, a tree that you want to carry under the branches of it on Shabbos, where there the problem is that you're not living under the tree for the sake of living under the tree. You're living over there on Shabbos in order to be able to watch your stuff in the field or whatever. So that's an example where it's called a dira l'shem avir. The dwelling place is not there for itself. It's there for the sake of the area around it. Here you have a different issue. Here you have that the mechitzas themselves are mechitzas gruas. So anytime you have any of these considerations, it's not hukaf l'dira, it wasn't enclosed for the sake of living quarters, or even if it is living quarters, it's dira shetashmisha la'aver, like in the case of the tree, or over here where it's mechitzas gruas, always then we say a rule of beis sasayim. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi are applying that over here also. Whereas the Chachamim say mechitzas gruas are not a reason to prevent people from being able to carry more than beis sasayim. If they need more than beis sasayim, then we'll give them more than beis sasayim apiece. By the way, just one thing to mention before we continue: Rishonim explained based on the Yerushalmi that it goes up as the number of people. Avraham Moshe, I'd like to ask you to mute yourself unless you have a question to ask.
What is mechitza grua?
Mechitza grua means that's either shesi without erev or erev without shesi. So the examples we had in the Mishnah yesterday are where you have a mechitza that's made entirely out of ropes, one above the other, with spaces between them, such that only by adding together the spaces which are lovered and the ropes do we get 10 tefachim, or a mechitza which is made entirely out of stakes put in the ground, so you have only vertical and no horizontal. That's called mechitza grua. So we have Rabbi Yehuda saying. Rabbi Yehuda had said in the Mishnah that it works only for a Shayara. So now we're clarifying, actually, Rabbi Yehuda will allow it for a Yochid, but only up to Beis Sasayim. And Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is somewhat similar. The Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is saying that even for a Shayara, we only allow them, if they have Mechitza Grua, they're only allowed Beis Sasayim apiece. And Rishonim explained, it goes up by the number of people. So if you have four people, then they have eight saw, five people, ten saw, and so forth. So it goes up by base sasayim per person, but not more than that, whereas the Chacham are saying if they need more space than that, then they're going to be entitled to even more space than that, even with Mechitza Grua. According to the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, no extra. According to the Chachamim, they can get even extra if they need it, yeah. So, continues the Gemara, Dorosh Rav Nachman Mishum Rabbeinu Shmuel. Rav Nachman Darshan in the name of Rabbeinu Shmuel is Shmuel, the Amora. He called him Rabbeinu Shmuel out of respect. So, Yochid Noisim LeBeis Sasayim. So, again, if a Yochid has an enclosure like that, we allow him to carry up to Beis Sasayim in it. Beis Noisim LeBeis Sasayim. If you have two people, then they have Beis Sasayim. Again, does that mean each of them have Beis Sasayim, or does it mean that the two of them together only have Beis Sasayim? That's a Macholik is Rishonim. Gimel Nasu Shayara. Once you have three, then they become a Shayara. Menoisim LeHem Beis Sheish. And now they're allowed to carry in an area of six. The question is, Shavkat Rabbanon v'Avdes K'Rav Yosef Yehuda, how are you ignoring the Rabbanon, who say that you can have as much space as you need, and going according to Rav Yosef Yehuda? He's a Yochid. You don't go like a Yochid against the Rabbin. So the Gemara continues, Hoder Oikim Rav Nachman Amora Alei. So later on, Rav Nachman put an Amora up in front of him. The Amora was the one who would announce what he's saying to everybody. We know the Rosh Shiva would usually, when he's giving a drasha or whatever, he would say his point quietly and briefly and whatever, and the Amora would explain it out loud to everybody else and clarify it. So he set up an Amora, meaning I'm going to give an important public drasha now, so everybody pay attention. The Dorash and Idarshan, Dvorim Shamarti Lefnechem Torosen Viyadi, what I said previously to you was a mistake. That's Modal Amos and Tokyo Amos, yeah. Bram Kach Omru. Rather, this is what the Chachamim said are the rules. Yochid noisim le beis sasayim. A yochid gets beis sasayim. Shnayim noisim le beis sasayim. Two people also only get beis sasayim. Shloisha nasu shayara. But once you have three, then you have a shayara. But noisim lehem called sirkon. Now you give them as much space as you need, which is like the Chachamim. So now the question still is, Reisha Rav Yosef Yehuda v'Sefer Rabbanon. So still, what is Rav Nachman doing over here? The first part of what he's saying is still like Rav Yosef Yehuda, because the Chachamim wouldn't make a difference between a Yochid and a Shiyara. The Chacham said in the Mishnah, Lo Dibra b'Shiyara El Bahoyva. They would allow for a Yochid also if he needs more than Beis Sasayim, and he uses the Mechitza Grua, they're still going to allow him to carry in more than Beis Sasayim. So he's starting out like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the Sefer Rabbanon, and then the end he's going like the Rabbanon. So what's going on over here? And the answer is Ein. Yes, we can say that he's able to do that. Mishum Dekoy Avua B'Shitze. Because when it comes to the Yachid, there you have it's not just Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, you also have Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's father agrees with him on that. That there's a difference between a Yachid and a Shiyara. Because Rabbi Yehuda said, B'Shiyara Dibru. So now already it's not just one Yachid, now you have two. You have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. So therefore, Rabbi Nachman is entitled to Paskin like them in that. It might, but it doesn't. Chacham doesn't can mean the rabbin, but it doesn't necessarily have to. Over here, once we already have two tanoim who say a certain thing, then Rav Nachman already is entitled to follow their opinion. So here's where I was mentioning before the Avnei Nezer. So this is where he asks. So this is part of what he asks is, why don't we just say he's going like Rabbi Yehuda? Just say that throughout he's going like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has no problem with the Shayara having more than six. So it's only Rabbi Yosef Yehuda has a problem with that. We're saying the first part of what Rabbi Nachman is saying is also going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Just say that he's going according to Rabbi Yehuda and have done with it. And this is one of the questions that leads him to explain the Gemara according to the Shitta of the Rif that there are actually two separate machlokas in over here. Number one, b'chlal, are you allowed to enclose an area more than a certain size, even not with a mechitza grua, even with a proper mechitza of shesi of erev? Is there a limitation how large that can be? And then separately, you have a machlokas of Yosef Yehuda and the Chachamim about the shesi of erev business. Okay, continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav. Shloisha b'chomish asurin b'sheva mutarin. Rav Gidol said in the name of Rav that actually it's not so simple. Sometimes this that we're saying that you can have three people are entitled to six sah, not necessarily. Sometimes you can have three people and they're also even to carry in an area of five sah. B'sheva mutarin, and sometimes you can have the same three people have an area of seven sah enclosed and they're allowed to carry in that. So it sounds very strange. Omer lei Omer Rav Hachi. So I asked Rav Gidol, did Rav really say that? Omer lehu, he says to them, Eirais nevi uksuvi de Omer Rav Hachi. I swear by Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim that Rav said that. Yes, it sounds strange, but yes, Rav said the din. We're going to have to figure out now what it means. Well, eventually, Omer Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, my kasha, why is it so hard to understand? I'll explain what he means. Dilma Hachi Kamar. Maybe Rav means as follows. If it so happens that they needed six sah, the hikifu b'sheva, they instead of enclosing an area of only six, they enclosed an area of seven, or actually it could be even more than seven, it could be 7.9, it could be whatever, anything up to eight, then afilu b'sheva mutarin, they're allowed to carry in the whole seven because you don't have a base sasayim empty. You only have one extra, one and a half extra, whatever, base sah, and that's fine. So therefore, so even though they enclose a slightly larger area, they're still allowed to carry. Loi hutzruchu ela l'chamish, but vice versa. So let's say the situation was they only need for themselves and their supplies and whatever, they only need five sa, the kifu b'sheva, and instead they surrounded seven, afilu b'chamish asurin. Then they would be also, even in the five, because now they have a base sasayim that's empty without anything in it. So the question is, what about the expression we said in the Braisa was that you can't have Beis Sasayim empty? My lav ponui me'odam, shouldn't that mean empty of people? In other words, we would say that if you have three people, let's say, and they enclose an area of eight, then you have Beis Sasayim ponui, because now you have, each one is entitled to two, they enclose an extra two, so now it's going to make, the whole thing is going to be considered a kaimelis, and they can only carry in it four amas. The mechitza doesn't help them anymore. Again, keeping in mind that this is only mechitza grua. We're still talking about mechitza grua over here. So in that case, we would say ponui means ponui mi'odam. So in other words, seven they would always be able to, on the face of it, seven they should always be able to carry in, because you always, once you give each of them their base saw, you only have one saw left over, and that should be fine. So less than two. So in that case, then that would, if we explain it that way, then it wouldn't work according to Rav. The answer is why ponui mi'kalim. No, the word ponui over here doesn't mean as far as the number of people. It means of kalim. In other words, you can have each of them only has a small amount of stuff with us. Like this, the Chachamim figured on a regular basis, a person and his equipment and his animals and whatever are going to need base sasayim. But let's say it so happens that one or more of these people has very little stuff with him. So therefore, he doesn't need base sasayim. So what do? They have the three of them fit all of their stuff into five saw, and they went and enclosed seven saw. That's when we're saying you're going to have a problem. That's what I'm saying. When I have a problem, and even in the five saw that they need, they're not going to be able to carry because they enclose too much. They enclose a base sasayim that's left empty of kalim. So that's the point. In other words, that we don't just go by the number of people. We go by the amount of stuff, how they have their stuff spread out throughout the encampment. So you're preposterous, I guess, if you take one kalim and stick it in that area, then you'll be fine. But if they didn't, then. So that fits according to Rav. Okay. Itmar. Shloisha umeis echamehem. So now we have a discussion like this. What happens if you started out with three people in the caravan, and then during Shabbos one of them died? Or shnayim v'nitos v'aleh. And what happens? They started Shabbos with only two people, and then in the middle of Shabbos a third person joined them. No, not a baby. No. I mean, I suppose, no. Because actually, and now that you have a baby, you're mentioning, actually, the Aruch HaShulchan wants to say that if you have a husband and wife together, they anyway only count as one person, because ishtik yugufoy. Maybe a baby might be the same thing, I don't know. But I don't know if everybody agrees with the Aruch HaShulchan on that. Well, yeah, nowadays they do, I don't know, but yeah. Okay, anyway, no. Toi Svalei and Bepashtus means that a third person joined them on Shabbos. I mean, remember, a person can walk a Tchum Shabbos or double Tchum Shabbos if they put down an Erev Tchumen. So you could have somebody else was nearby. He looks over, he sees there's an enclosure over there, and there are two Jews over there, and he decides, let me go spend the rest of Shabbos with them. So what happens? Do the rules about how much space you can carry in change? Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak. So Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak argue about that point. Chad Oma Shabbos Geremes. One says we go based on how it was at the beginning of Shabbos. So if you started out with three and then one of them died during Shabbos, it's okay. At the beginning of Shabbos, you had three. You were allowed base sheish sin. So even now, they only have two. They're still allowed to carry in that enclosure for the rest of Shabbos. And the other one says you go according to the number of people who are living over there. Meaning, if you have, so, you had three, one of them died, no good. Now you only have two. So now if you have more than base asayim enclosed, then you have a problem. No, well, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to make the mechitza smaller. It just means that for the rest of Shabbos, they're going to be limited to carrying things only four amos. It's not essentially different than the case of, let's say, if you have a city Eruv and the Eruv breaks in the middle of Shabbos, you know, right? What do? You don't fix the Eruv on Shabbos. You just, yeah. You have the famous story involving the Alter Rebbe's, what is it, the Alter Rebbe's mother and aunt. I forget the exact details. The Friedrich Rebbe, I think, tells in Sefer HaZichronos, where these women were all very knowledgeable in Torah. And so one time they're walking on Shabbos and they have with them gloves and they have with them different things and the Eruv breaks and that's Alter Rebbe's mother or his aunt, whatever. Immediately starts giving instructions to everybody, to the men and the women over there, what to do with the things they have with them. This you can carry less than 4 amos at a time. This one you have to. This you have to leave here, et cetera, yeah. So yeah. Okay. So that's the machlokas. Do we go based on how it was at the beginning of Shabbos, or do we go according to the actual number of people living in the enclosure right now? Okay, so we have Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak. Which one said which? Tistayim, we can conclude that Rav Huna hu da'ama Shabbos geremes. We can prove that Rav Huna is the one who says you go according to how it is at the beginning of Shabbos. Da'ama Rabba, because Rabba says, Ba'oi me Rav Huna. I asked Rav Huna a question u'ba'oi me Rav Yehuda, and also I asked the same question by Rav Yehuda. The question was like this. Erev derech haPesach. What if a person makes an Eruv? What if two chatzeres make an Eruv through a doorway? Now, we're going to learn in great detail later in the Masechta that in order for two chatzeres to make an Eruv between them, there has to be a doorway or window between them that's large enough to fit certain criteria. If you have two chatzeres, let's say, where there's a solid wall between them with no doors and no windows, let's say, or no windows that are large enough, even if there are small windows, or even if they can pass things around over the top of the wall, they wouldn't be allowed to. They're still not able to make an Eruv together. To make an Eruv together, there has to be a doorway in the wall, or there has to be a window a certain size, 4x4 trochim, whatever. So let's say you had two chatzeres where they had a door between them, so they're able to make an Eruv between the two of them before Shabbos, and then the Nistama Pesach. Sometime during Shabbos, the doorway was closed in. Let's say, yeah, the bricks fell in or something, and now you can't go through the doorway anymore. Or Derech HaChalon, or they made an Eruv by way of the window. Again, you had a window over there that was large enough for 4x4 Tvachim, so they made an Eruv for the purpose of being able to carry things back and forth through the window. The Nistama Chalon, and the window was closed up. Mahu, what's the din in those cases? Are you still allowed to, for the rest of Shabbos, for the rest of that Shabbos, are you still allowed to pass things over the wall or through small windows or whatever? No. When we say an Eruv, we're talking about the Eruv of food. We're talking about that they have to in common put together bread or whatever it is before Shabbos, and put it in one of the houses. So we're going to learn a lot of cases later on, and mostly in the seventh parak of our Masechta, we're going to learn about a lot of different cases. There are some cases where the two chatzeres are actually considered one, and they have to make an Eruv chatzeres if any of them want to carry in their chatzer at all. We have other ones where they can't make an Eruv chatzeres, because, for example, there's no door or window between them. And then we're going to have cases where they could make separate Eruv chatzeres, or they could make a common one if they want. Let's say when there's a doorway over there, for example, if they want, they can each make a separate Eruv. They're each going to be able to carry in their chatzer. They're just not going to be allowed to carry from one chatzer to the other. Or they can make one common Eruv chatzeres, and then they're going to be able to carry within the chatzeres and between them. Okay, so that's the case over here. We have these two chatzeres. They made an Erev chatzeres between them. Now the window or the door that they were using as the connecting point between them is closed up. So now, is the Erev valid for the rest of Shabbos? Or are they still allowed to transfer things from one chatzer to the other, let's say by throwing them over the wall? But Amali and Rav Huna answers me, Shabbos ho'ovah hotra hotra. The answer is that once it was mutter at the beginning of Shabbos, it remains mutter for the rest of Shabbos. So there we go. So we see that Rav Huna is the one who says the same thing over here. If you have the three people of the Shayara and one of them died during Shabbos, or vice versa, if you have two people at the beginning of Shabbos and then one and then a third person joined them on Shabbos. It works both ways, yeah. So therefore, Tisayim, so that proves that Rav Huna is the one who says that. Although, Tosfos makes a distinction over here between the difference whether the actual mechitzas still exists versus where the mechitzas themselves fell down or whatever. Over here, the problem is not with the mechitzas in and of themselves. I mean, okay, they are mechitza grua, fine, but the problem is not so much that the mechitzas themselves. The problem is with the circumstances of these mechitzas. You have two people, you have three people or whatever. Same thing over there. You have the mechitzas of the chatzar themselves are still intact. You just have the window or the door was closed up that they used to make the eruv with the other chatzar. So then we would say, as opposed to, for example, we had a case a couple of days ago involving a mavui. Actually, the Gemara itself is going to make this distinction in a minute. Between you have a, for example, a mavui where the lechi fell down on Shabbos. We had the story over there with Rab, where he told his shamash, stand right there and don't continue bringing me the water, because you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So that's different. When the mechitza itself is actually gone, then we don't say once it was mutter for the beginning of Shabbos, it remains mutter. The Gemara itself, I mean, Tosfos discusses that at some length, but actually the Gemara itself is actually going to point out that distinction as well. Okay. So the question is, Lema Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Yitzchak v'plugda d'Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbi Yehuda k'mifti? Should we have to say that Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Yitzchak are arguing on the same machlokas as Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanoim? Which, in that case, you always have the question, then why would the Amoraim be bothering to repeat a machlokas that the Tanoim already have? And like this, the Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah later in our Masechta, Chotzer shenifritza mishnei ruchaseha, if a Chotzer's walls on two sides of it fell down, so now you're not able to carry in the Chotzer anymore. So we'll see, Rashi refers us to later on, the Gemara is going to explain why Dafka, we're talking about it fell down on two sides. What about if it falls down on only one side, what would be the din? Anyway, the point is that here the Chotzer is not enclosed enough to be able to carry in on Shabbos. So actually, to be exact, the Gemara explains over there, Bishnei Ruchaseha doesn't mean just on two sides. What it means is there was a breach in the corner, and we had a rule a few days ago in the Gemara that people don't make a door in a corner at an angle like that. So therefore, that's where you have the problem. Now you don't have proper mechitzas anymore. So here's an example of it. So even though the breach is less than 10 amos wide, you still have a problem because it's two different adjacent walls. So that's as far as a house, but you'd have the same thing as far as a chotzer. So that's a chotzer that was broken from two sides. The same thing with a house, if there's a breach on a corner where it affects two sides. Same thing, a mavui where the koda or the lechi was removed or fell off or whatever on Shabbos. Tosfos actually points out the word shouldn't really be koroisav or lechayav, which are plural. You don't need two kodas, you don't need two lechi. Really, it should be korosai or lechyoi in the singular. Okay, anyway, so if you have the koda or the lechi was removed on Shabbos, it blew away, or whatever it was, anyway, mutorin la'oysa Shabbos fa'asurin la'asid lavoi, divir Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you can still continue carrying in that house or chotzer or mavui for the rest of that Shabbos. Before next Shabbos, you've got to fix it. Rabbi Yossi says, no, im mutorin la'oysa Shabbos mutorin la'asid lavoi, if it's mutter for the rest of that Shabbos, it also has to be mutter la'asid lavoi. There's no reason to distinguish between this Shabbos and next Shabbos. V'im asurin la'asid lavoi, asurin la'asid Shabbos. If it's going to be also in the future, then it's also on this Shabbos as well. And what Rabbi Yossi means by that is to be machmir, is to say, just like you, look, you, Rabbi Yehuda, have to agree that it can't be kosher for next Shabbos on the basis of that there was a lechi there previously. So obviously you're agreeing it's also for next Shabbos. You have to agree that it should be also for this Shabbos as well. We're not going to say Shabbos Geremes. So on the face of it, Rabbi Yehuda is saying Shabbos Gerebbis. So once it was good at the beginning of Shabbos, it's good for the rest of Shabbos. And Rabbi Yossi is saying that not. That seems to be the same machlokas as Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Yitzchak. So Lamer Rabbi Huna, Da'amak Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yitzchak, Da'amak Rabbi Yossi. So do we have to say then that Rabbi Huna is going like Rabbi Yehuda and saying Shabbos Gerebbis, and Rabbi Yitzchak is going like Rabbi Yossi, that it's not Shabbos, but rather the actual Mechitzah, so in this case, in our case over here, it was the Diurin, or whatever, or Gerem. At this point, for purposes of the question, the Gemara doesn't assume that there's any difference between a problem with the Mechitzah and a problem with the Diurin, with the Diurin and the number of people who live there. Like Dira, yeah. So the number in the case of the Shiara, it means the number of people in the Shiara. In the case of the two Chatzeres, it means the number of people between the two Chatzeres where they have a doorway between them. Yeah. So the answer is no. The Gemara says Amalach Rav Huna. So no, Rav Huna can answer you. And no, the Amri Afilu Rabbi Yosi. No, what I'm saying that Shabbos Geremis would work even according to Rabbi Yosi. Ad kam like Amr Rabbi Yosi Hasim Elu the less new Mechitzes. Because after all, Rabbi Yosi is talking about over there, it's the actual Mechitzes that are gone. You have the actual walls of the Chatzar are broken, or the house are broken. You have the actual Lachi or Kora, where part of the purpose of the Lachi or the Kora is Mishra Mechitza, is gone. So therefore, Rabbi Yosi is going to say that you have a problem that Shabbos. Hacha is new Mechitzes. Here, the fact is, you have the mechitzas. You just have a different number of people inside those mechitzas. Therefore, he says that because one person died or one person joined them, so therefore, Rav Huna is saying even Rabbi Yossi could agree that there you go according to how it was at the beginning of Shabbos. And Rabbi Yitzchak, not the Amri Afilu Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yitzchak can answer that what I'm saying works even according to Rabbi Yehuda. The fact is, there you have the same number of people living there as before. You have the same number of people using the house or the chotzer as the mavo as before. You have a difference. The walls fell down, or the kora or lachi or whatever fell down. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say the diurin are the important thing. The number of people using the area is the important factor. And therefore, as long as it was good at the beginning of Shabbos, then fine. Hacha less than the diurin. Here, the bottom line is, you don't have enough people to be able to use. They enclosed an area. You have six, now you have only two people.
Whereas a place where you have a shiara, once its surrounding is approved,
that's true, but Rabbi Yehuda might answer. First of all, we had the machlokas before whether the lechi or the kora or mishum heker or mishum mechitza. Rabbi Yehuda could actually it could work either way. Whether it was mishum heker, fine. There was a heker at the beginning of Shabbos; it's good enough for now. And mishum mechitza also. There were mechitzas. There were valid mechitzas at the beginning of Shabbos, so therefore it works for the rest of Shabbos as well. As long as you still have most of the mechitzas are there, after all. The problem is only that part of it fell down, or the part of, the lechi or the kora, which is only requirement, Rabbanon, fell down, so therefore we're going to allow it. But whereas when you have fewer people living there, and now you have a base tzasayim that's empty, and Rabbi Yehuda himself is saying in the Mishnah, that we don't allow base society, that we only allow up to base society for a yachid, only when it comes to a shayara do we allow larger areas, then therefore Rabbi Yehuda is going to say fewer people equals you don't have as much space to work with, and therefore now you have too much empty space, and therefore you can't carry there. If it's a good mechitza, then he's got more than base asayim. Here we're talking about mechitza grua. Yeah. Because you have many people, right? But still, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that once it was good for the beginning of Shabbos, it'll be good for the rest of Shabbos. Yeah. Okay, we said in the Mishnah of Chachamim Echad Mishnei Dvarim, we said the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah say you don't need both Shesi Ve'erev, one or the other is good enough. So the question is, Hainu Tanakama, aren't they saying the same thing as the Tanakama of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda had said B'Shiyara Dibru, and the Chacham said Lo Dibru B'Shiyara El B'Hoiva, implying that they're allowing a Mechitza Grua, whether for an individual or for a Shiyara. The Chacham at the end of the Mishnah seemed to be saying the same thing. The answer is, but now Yachid B'Yishu. There is an argument between them. What if it's an individual, but what if it's not in the middle of nowhere? What if it's in a city, in a built-up area? So now we have like this, the Tana Kama is saying, Lo Dubra B'Shiyara Ela B'Hoiva. They're saying, fine, we're going to allow more than Beis Sasayim for a Yachid, as long, even with a Mechitza Grua, but only if it's somewhat similar to a Shiyara, namely that it's out in the middle of nowhere. He's camping out in the fields for Shabbos because he doesn't, because he's on a journey or whatever, so then we're going to allow him that. But if he's in the city, the Chachamim, the first Chachamim with Rabbi Yehuda, are going to say, we're not going to allow you a Mechitza Grua and carry more than Beis Sasayim in it. You're in the city. Go to Home Depot and put up a proper Mechitza. Well, maybe it's that people will see. I don't know if it's that people will see necessarily, but whatever. You have the ability. Rashi just says, however, Yochalas Mechitza Yenis. You're able to make a proper Mechitza. You're not just limited to what you can find over there out in the field. So go put up a proper Mechitza, and if not, then stick to Beis Sasayim. The second Rabbanon, the second Chachamim in the Mishnah, when they reply to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, when he says that that not Shesi and Erev is not a valid Mechitza at all, as far as more Beis Sasayim, whether it's a Shiyara, or whether it's in the city, or whether it's a Shiyara, whether it's an individual, or whether it's a Rabbim, so then the Chachamim are going to answer that no, a Mechitza is a Mechitza, even if it's a Mechitza Grua, we don't care. An individual is able to use it for more than Beis Sasayim, even if he's in the city. So it comes out altogether, we have four opinions over here. We have Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda is the most machmir. He says that whether an individual or Shayara, whether in the city or whether out in the middle of nowhere, either way, you're never going to be allowed more than Beis Sasayim per person, if it's a Mechitza Grua. We have Rabbi Yehuda is a little more makel. Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow it for Shayara. There's no limit on the area that they can have if they have a Mechitza Grua, but not for a Yachid. We have the first Chachamim are going to say it's allowed even for a Yachid, but only if he's out in the middle of nowhere. And then we have the last Chachamim in the Mishnah, who are the most makel and say that even a Yachid, even in the city, can have a Mechitza Grua and be able to carry in more than Beis Sasayim. The halacha is like what we said before, what Rav Nachman said, which is basically a little bit like a Chachamim and a little bit like Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, that we are going to allow it for a Shayara is going to be allowed as much space as they need as long as they don't have Beis Sasayim empty. So again, we have they can't have an area that's ponering the kalim, that's empty of their kalim, that's based for sayim or more. If they do, then they can only, if they have that, then they can only carry four amas, like any kamalas. Okay. Since we're mentioning things that happen in a shayara, in a caravan, so the Mishnah takes the Mishnah digresses a second to talk about some dinim that have to do with an army camp. Because you have the same idea, an army camp, a camp of Jewish soldiers that are out in the middle of nowhere, what are the rules for them? So the Mishnah says, Arba dvarim potru b'machna. The Chachamim patterned soldiers who are encamped out in the fields from four things. Number one, Mevi'in Eitzim Mikol Mokem. They're able to take wood from anywhere. So if they need, we're not talking about a case of Pikuach Nefesh. We're just talking about they need wood, for example, for whether it's for firewood, whether it's for whatever purpose they might need wood for. They're allowed to go and forage around in the fields and take wood even from other people's fields. And it's not considered gezel, as we'll see in the Gemara. And number two, a pturim mechitzya sedayim. They're potter from washing their hands before they eat bread. And umidmai, they're also potter. They're allowed to eat dmai, where you don't know, you're domai, you don't know whether mice or whether you bought it from an amma oratz, you don't know whether we took mice rishon and mice sheni and trumas mice from it. They're allowed to eat it. Because again, roiv amma oratz ma'asim heim, and the whole concept of dmai is only drabbanon. So the Gemara sometimes has an expression, hein omru vehein omru. The same chachamim who said a certain rule also said that there are exceptions to that rule. So the chachamim said, that you have to wash for bread. It's a takana from Shlomo HaMelech. So the same Chachamim or later Chachamim, whatever, can say that there's an exception when people are at war. The Chachamim said you can't eat Dmai. The same Chachamim can say we're going to make an exception for soldiers. And the last one, Omila Arev, they're potter from making an Erev Chaseris. In other words, Rashi describes, let's say, so we had, there were two separate groups of the army, that each of them made their own enclosure, like we described in the previous Mishnah. Let's say they don't have, so do they have to make an Erev Chaseris between their enclosures in order to be able to carry between one and the other? They don't. They're allowed to carry between one enclosure and the other. As long as they're not carrying in Rishos Rabim, of course. We're talking about if the enclosures are next to each other, or, yeah. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Tana Rabbanan, Machne Hayotzes Mochemes Harashus, a camp of Jewish soldiers that is going out to fight a Mochemes Harashus. Mochemes Harashus, Rashi explains like this. You have Mochemes Mitzvah, which is the Mochemes to conquer Eretz Yisrael. The wars after that, generally speaking, are Mochemes Rashus. Mochemes Rashus, the Rambam defines it a little more precisely. It means basically there's a war where the king is doing it with the permission of the Sanhedrin and the Urim and Thummim and whatever, in order to enlarge the borders of Eretz Yisrael, scare away the Goyim from attacking the Jews, that sort of thing. It's called a Mochemes Harashus. So in other words, the point is, the din that we're going to talk about is certainly by a Mochemes Mitzvah, but even by a Mochemes Harashus, even though the whole war itself is only optional, nevertheless, Mutorin Begezel Eitzim Yevashim, they're allowed to steal dry wood. In other words, they're allowed to take dry wood, and all the more so, it actually says fresh wood, but even dry wood, even the guy took the trouble to put it outside his house and then leave it there for a couple of weeks or whatever to dry, the soldiers are allowed to take it if they need it. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says a couple of other dinim that apply to the Mochemes Harashus. Af chonin b'chomakam. Another rule is they're allowed to camp wherever they want. They don't have to ask permission from the owner of the property first. And another din, uvamakam shenegu sham nikvarim. Also another din, if a soldier gets killed in this war, you bury him wherever he was killed. He's like a mess mitzvah, as the Gemara is going to say, and you just bury him where he was killed. So let's analyze those. Mutarim begezel etzim yevashim. We said they're allowed to take dry wood. So what do you mean that this is a special takana of the Chachamim? Hai takanta di Yeshua hava. This is one of the 10 takanas. The Gemara explains in Bava Kamma that when the Jewish people conquered and settled out Israel, and Yeshua divided it up among the Shvatim, he made 10 tnoim. He and his Beis Din made 10 tnoim that everybody had to agree to. And there's even a machloikus in the Gemara over there, which of these tnoim apply in Chutz La'aretz. But anyway, the point is that these are already from Yeshua's time, and among those tnoim, the Amamar, Asara tnoim hisna Yeshua. Yeshua made 10 conditions on the Jewish people when they settled out Israel. The first one was Shiyum Marin Bachoshin. The first one is that people are allowed to graze their animals in forests, meaning you have one person owns a forest, another person is allowed to take his animals to graze in that forest. Because anyway, the plants that grow in that forest, you're not usually going to harvest. They're usually just, you have mosses or ferns or whatever that are growing on the ground over there. He's not machbid on them anyway. So he has to allow the other person's animals to go graze there. And the second one, which is relevant to our sugya, umalakdin etzim isadasein. People are allowed to take wood from each other's fields. So you see, you're already allowed to do that. What do we need a special heter? So that's in general. What do we need a special heter for soldiers? The answer is Hosam behizmi behigi hacha b'sharetzim. First of all, is about things like thorns and other plants like that that most people don't usually bother keeping anyway. So therefore, if you see thorns in somebody else's field, you're allowed to go and pick them in order to use them for firewood or whatever. Here we're talking about hacha b'sharetzim. Here we're talking about other kinds of wood, where the person usually would be Makbidan. So soldiers are still allowed to take it. Also, Inami, another point, Hosam b'mechoborin hacha b'tloshin. There we're talking about only if they're still attached to the ground. So the owner of these thorns or whatever obviously didn't care much about them. He didn't even bother picking them yet. He didn't put any tircha into them, so therefore you're allowed to go and pick them. Hocha b'tloshin, here we're talking about he already cut it from the ground. So he already put some tircha into it, and still the soldiers are allowed to take it. The Balachin we haven't gotten to. Inami, Hosam Balachin, Hochab Yevashin. A third one is there we're talking about they're still fresh, so they're still moist, so they're not usable for firewood anyway. Here we're talking about they're already dry, he already put them out. And the Ritva explains, the Gemara doesn't mean that it's one or the other. All three of those conditions, when we say Yeshua Tanai, that a person is allowed to take wood from somebody else's field, you need all three of those conditions. It has to be only thorn bushes and things like that, things that a person is not makbid on, that are still fresh and attached, that are still fresh and that are still attached to the ground. Only if you have all those three conditions are you allowed to take them. Whereas the soldiers aren't bound by any of those conditions. They can take even regular wood, even if it was already cut from the ground, even if it's already dry, they're still allowed to take them for their purposes of the army. Unless you own an elephant. Oh, we talked about, to feed elephants as far as branches. Okay. We said, then we said, Rav Yehuda ben Tomo, Af Koinin B'chomo. Malcolm. We said that Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says the soldiers can camp any place they want. They don't have to ask the owner permission first. And also we're saying that they get buried wherever they're killed. So the question is, Pshita, obviously that would be the case. Mess mitzvah, who's such a person as a mess mitzvah, or mess mitzvah kona makomai. We know a general, this is another one of Yoshua's 10 tanoim. The last one of the tanoim is mess mitzvah kona makomai, that a mess mitzvah acquires the place where he died and he's buried right there. Now, by the way, the Noisei Kalim on Shulchan Aruch, the Taz and the Shach say, nowadays we're generally not knowing that because we don't live in our own land. We live in lands of the Goyim, and therefore if we bury a mess mitzvah anywhere, chances are, eventually the Goyim might take over the land, and they're gonna dig it up, they're gonna whatever. So therefore we take them to a Jewish base akvaris. There is in Eretz Yisrael, on the other hand, it's different. There's actually an interesting story in the Medrash, where Rabbi Akiva tells a story about himself from when he first started to learn Torah. He says one time he found a mess mitzvah and he carried it a couple of mil to the nearest town in order to be able to bury it. Then he went and told his Rebbeim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, what he did. And they told him, you should know something. Every step that you took, it's like you were shofech damim. Because mess mitzvah kana makayma. You have no right to take him away from there and bury him someplace else. You should have buried him right where you found them. So then Rabbi Akiva says, I realized how much I need to learn Torah, and then I started to seriously sit down and learn Torah by them. The flip side of that is, on the other hand, I read a story once of a guy, a secular yid in Eretz Yisrael, where his father started coming to him in a dream every night and then urging him to do tshuva. And then he went to one of the Rabbanim of that time. I think it was the Chazon Ish. And then I think it was the Chazon Ish. And he asked him, so do you have any particular schus that you have this Hisaurus Shruva like that? And it turned out that years before, when he was living in Poland or Russia or whatever it was he came from, he one time found a body of a yid lying in the road and carried it several miles to the nearby town to bury it. Which again, like the Shach and Taz are saying, when we live in the lands of the Goyim, that's the right thing to do. In the schus of that he buried a mess mitzvah, he had the schus that now, all this time later, his father came to him in Hashemayim to urge him to do tshuva. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So again, so a soldier is a mess mitzvah, so obviously bury him where he fell down. What's the chiddush?
Alexander, what is the status of the West Bank? It's controlled by the Goyim, but it's Eretz Yisrael.
I'm saying because practically speaking, the Goyim control it. I don't know.
Yes.
So I don't know. This that the Shach and Taz are saying, that we live in the lands of the Goyim and therefore we don't just bury anywhere, I don't know to what extent that applies in Eretz Yisrael nowadays. I mean, you know, parts of Eretz Yisrael are under Jewish sovereignty, as parts are not. Nevertheless, though, even the parts that are, not always are people going to always be respectful. So I don't know. I guess you'd have to ask the Chevra Kedisha in Eretz Yisrael, practically speaking, what they do with Mesa Mitzvah. My impression is that they still take them and bury them in a Beis HaKvaris. You have, for example, Jews who were killed, you know, by terrorists or whatever. You don't have you generally don't hear of them just being buried wherever they fall. They take them to the Beis HaKvaris. So I guess the same principle applies. Eretz Yisrael has to be Torah. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Okay, so anyway, so the answer is Lo Tzricha, the Chiddush in the case of soldiers is Afagav de Islay Kovrin, even though there are other people who will be able to bury him, meaning Rashi says that he has Yoshin. In other words, the concept of a mess mitzvah primarily is where the person has no relatives who are going to Yoshin him, who therefore are going to be involved with burying him. So wait, D'tanya. So therefore you bury him right there. But right. So D'tanya, a zehu mess mitzvah. What is the definition of a mess mitzvah? Kol she'ein lo kovrin, where he doesn't have kovrin. Which again, Rashi explicitly. We'll say what Rashi says versus what other Rishonim say in just a second. But Rashi explains that ein lo kovrin means he has no yoshim. So it doesn't have to mean, for example, now every yid has yoshim unless he's a ger. So it doesn't have to mean that, it doesn't mean that he has no, the Pashtos, it means like he has no close Yoshim, like his newest Yorish, you know, is going to be his fifth cousin twice removed or something. You're not expecting that the guy is going to know about it and go, yeah. On the other hand, but if he would have been able to call out and other people would answer him, in other words, if there were relatives of his close by enough that if he, the mess himself, were to have called out before he passed away, I'm about to die, please come and bury me, and they would answer, ain't a mess mitzvah, then it's not a mess mitzvah. So over here, we're talking about, even though the soldier has Yoshin, he may have his own sons or brothers or whatever may be in the army there together with him, nevertheless, the special rule for a soldier is that we bury him where he was killed. Now, you have other Rishonim that learn that Islay Kovrin and Akkord of Acherim Onarisay refers more generally. Are there people around to hear? If you have, so you're walking along, you find a mess mitzvah. If you call out and there are other people within earshot that are going to hear and help you bury the mess, then it's not considered a mess mitzvah. Only if you're out there by yourself together with the mess, then it would be considered a mess mitzvah. So over here, what we're saying is, again, even though the soldier, you have many other, you have other people in the army with him, there's plenty of people to hear and be able to take and be able to take the mess away. Nevertheless, we say we bury him where he was killed. Okay. So the question is, a mess mitzvah kona makoma. So you're telling me that a mess mitzvah acquires the place where he died, and therefore you bury him right there. But Hatanya, we learn in a brisa, hamotza mess muta b'sratya. If you find a mess lying in the main road, mifanehu. You move the body over to the right or to the right or to the left of the road. Meaning, in other words, you don't just bury him right where he is. Now that's the question. Ashley says the question is, if next mitzvah kana makoma, then it should be that part of the road is now his burial place and it's off limits. Yeah, you'd have a lane of the road is blocked off, let's say, yeah, you know. So what do you do? Stay bored or stay near. What happens if you have on one side of the road is an uncultivated field, one that hasn't been plowed or anything at all, it's just left fallow, or stay near, and on the other side you have a field that was plowed but not yet planted. Then when you're moving the body off the road, you move it to the stay bored, because you always want to, where possible, you want to have the less disruption to the balabas as possible. So like this, a stay bur, he's not cultivating it anyway, so therefore bury the mess over there, rather than a stay near where he already took the trouble to plow it. Stay near or stay there. Now, similarly, if you have one field that was plowed but not yet planted and another one that was actually planted, mifaneho, the stay near, and then you put the mess, you bury the mess in the plowed field. Again, in order to make less hefsed for the owner of the field. What if both of them are plowed, or both of them are planted, or both of them are empty? Then you can clear it to in whichever direction you want. But the point is, you don't bury it in the road itself. So why not? If mess mitzvah kana makoma, the answer is amar bibi hachab mess mutal ala meitzeraskin. Here we're talking about where the mess is lying across the whole road. Meitzer, Rashi says, means meitzer la meitzer, all the way from one side of the road, from the edge of the road where it adjoins one field, all the way to the other edge where it adjoins the other field. So now you have a problem. Like you were saying, Eretz Yisrael has to be kept tahor. In particular, koyanim, people who are involved with taharas, can't be allowed to become tamei. We don't want that we're going to bury the mess under the road over there, and every time people walk over that road, they're going to become tamei. So therefore, so now that we have permission anyway to move him, because we anyway can't bury him under the whole road and make that everybody who goes on that road forever after is going to be tamei, therefore, so at that point, you have a heter to bury him in a nearby field. But otherwise not. In other words, if he was just by the side of the road, then the din would be that you actually have to just bury him right there under that side of the road, and then as the Gemara explains in Moed Katan, what you do is you put up a marker on the caver, you pour plaster over there, whatever, in order to show that there's a caver there, and that way clearing him and then so forth, know to stay away from it. Okay. We said in the Mishnah Pturim Merchitzis Yadayim, we said that soldier is in an army camp apart from washing their hands. So Amar Abaye Lashon Elamayim Yishonim. That refers only poor eating bread. Avamay Machronim Choyva. But my machronim is an actual obligation, and even soldiers are mechoyim in that. So Amr of Chiyah Ba'ashi, so what about nowadays? Nowadays, not everybody is careful about my machronim. So the Gemara is going to explain now that the reason behind my machronim, we learned this in Barachas as well, is because of Melach's doimis. So Tosfos points out, we don't really have Melach's doimis, and also we don't have some of the minhagim by eating that they had in those days, therefore it's less important. With that said, though, you have other Rishonim say that there's a different reason behind it, that the reason is in order to be tahor before we bench, that our hands should be tahor before we bench. And in fact, it's brought, there's a famous statement, Shailos Atrubos Min HaShemayim, from one of the Baalei HaTosfos, where he asked one of the questions, he would write a question and put it under his pillow, and the next morning he'd have an answer, Min HaShemayim, and he collected them into a sefer. So one of his questions was, what about my machronim? People are careless about it nowadays, because like we said, there's no melach's doimis. Is that correct? And he was answered, Min HaShemayim, that no, you have to be careful with it. So this is, it's based on that that we that people that we're knowing with Mayim Achronim. But nevertheless, I mean, we still have, so we only do a tiny little bit of water. If we really held Mayim Achronim Chayva, we would have to do a proper washing like we do before bread. We'd have to do a revias on each hand and so forth. Yeah. Okay. So Amr Abchir Ba'ashin, if Ne Ma Amr Mayim Achronim Chayva, why did these, why did the Chacham say Mayim Achronim is an obligation even for soldiers? Because there's a kind of salt called melach sdomis that makes a person's eye blind if it gets into his eyes. Now, what's the point? Rashi explains, based on a Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara says over there that after you finish eating, eat a little bit of salt. So how do you eat a little bit of salt? You take a pinch of it with your fingers. That salt might be melach sdomis, or it might have a little melach sdomis mixed into it. Now you've got salt on your hands. Now if you touch your hands to your eyes without washing them, then it may make you blind. So again, Tosfos says, nowadays, A, we don't really have melach sdomis, and B, we don't eat a pinch of salt after the meal, so therefore Tosfos says that maybe there's not such a reason to worry about it. So we still, again, we do Mayim Achronim more of a symbolic way of doing things nowadays, where we only use a tiny bit of water.
We have better desserts.
What? We have better desserts, yeah, really. Okay. Amar Abaye umeshtakcho kekurta bekurta. So Abaye says, you don't even have to have, the melach sdomis is not even that large an amount. You might have only one grain of such salt in a kur of regular salt. A kur is 30 sa'as, but 500 pounds. So in that, you might have one grain of melach sdomis. But still, that one grain, if it happens to stick to your finger, might harm your eyes. What happens, what's the deal if a person measures out salt? Does he need to wash his hands afterwards or not? Amalek, hold everybody. He says, there's no question. Obviously, if we're saying that even the person takes a pinch of salt and he needs to wash Mayim Achronim afterwards, how much more so if he's measuring out salt? It's interesting. The Rambam uses an expression that in Hilchos Brachos, where the Rambam is described as talking about Mayim Achronim, he mentions over there, he has the expression, kol es hamelach. Now, what does kol mean? On the face of it, kol means anything. So in fact, the Ravid understood it that way, that it means anything, if a person eats any food that contains salt, he has to wash Mayim Achronim. And he says that doesn't seem to fit with our Gemara over here. We're only talking about measuring salt over here, or about eating a pinch of salt or whatever. So one possibility is that Amma may have meant kol in the sense of the word koyil in the Gemara over here means to measure. You have an apostle of kol bashola shafar ha'aretz in our Torah, Parshas Nachmu, where the word kol over there means to measure. So that Amma may have meant kol as a melech, a person measures salt, which is exactly what the Gemara is saying over here. We said in the Mishnah Umidmai, we said that soldiers in the army camp are potter from Dmai, Ditnan, because we learn in a Mishnah. Machilim Asaniyim Dmai, Vesachsani Dmai. You're allowed to feed poor people Dmai, and you're allowed to feed Achsania, which is, again, Jewish soldiers, that normally they would not be allowed to eat Dmai, but because they're soldiers, you're allowed to. Tosfos actually brings from the Yerushalmi that it might also mean Goyish soldiers, but even so, the point is, normally you're not allowed to feed Tevel to other, normally, let's say, you're obligated, you're required by law to feed these soldiers, and normally you're not allowed to use Tevel for something that you're obligated to do, but over here, we see that there's a heter to give them Dmai, and so the same thing applies over here. So Rav Huna says, you should know, we learn in a Braisa, Beshama says you can't do that, or Beshama says you could. We learned this in Brachos and in Shabbos, so far we're in our third Masechta now of this cycle, and in every one of them we've had this statement. So Tosfos points out, by the way, now why does Rav Huna have to tell us what Beshama holds? Our law is not like them anyway. The point is, in case you ever find a Braisa that says that you can't feed Aniyim or Achsaniyadmai, you should know that's only according to Beshama. Okay. So the halacha is like this. So, of course, you are allowed to. Therefore, these Jewish soldiers are allowed to eat mine. We said, umil arev, we said the fourth thing that soldiers are potter from is they don't make an eruv. They said in the yeshiva of Yanai, that only applies to eruv echatzeres. Like we said, if they have two separate enclosures for their army, they're allowed to carry between one and the other. But if they want an Erev Tchumen, if they want to walk more than 2,000 Amos, that they're still going to have to do. And the reason is, because Rav Chiya taught a Braisa, Loikin al Erev Tchumen Dvar Torah. You get Malkus for Erev Tchumen Min HaTorah. In other words, he holds the concept of Tchum is Min HaTorah, so the Chachamim can't be Matz or something that's also Min HaTorah, even for soldiers. This is actually an interesting point, because is the halacha in fact like Rav Chiya? Now you have throughout Shas Bavli, the Gemara always seems to take it as a given that only Rabbi Akiva says that Tumin Daraisa. So does that mean Rabbi Chiya is talking over here only according to Rabbi Akiva? So the Rif refers to, you have a Yerushalmi that says that there's a difference between a tchum of 1 mil, 2,000 amos, and a tchum of 12 mil. The Rif mentions, the Yerushalmi says that a tchum of 12 mil is Daraisa according to everybody. So the Rif and the Baal Amor and the Ramban get into a whole argument, pro and con. Does the Gemara Bavli agree with the Yerushalmi on that or not? The Rambam in particular learns that they do agree. So the Rambam says that there is a concept of Tchumin Daraisa, namely 12 mil. Midrabanan, it was reduced to 1 mil, 2,000 amos. Rabbi Akiva holds 2,000 amos as Daraisa. So therefore, Rabbi Chiya's Braisa, where he says that you're loikin al erev Tchumin Daraisa, would be referring to if a person walks more than 12 mil outside the city on Shabbos. Okay. So Maski for Rabbi Yonasan. So Rabbi Yonasan says, how can you get Malkus for going outside the Tchum? V'chi loikin al lab shaba'al. Since when do you get Malkus for a lab that's expressed with the word al? Over here, the expression is al yetzi ishmi mekayim, right? The assumption is that the word al, when the Torah says loy, when the Torah says don't do such and such, is one thing. Al is more like a request. Like, yeah, many times in Pesukim, you even have an expression, al no. So like, so al is like an expression, please don't do such and such. How can you be chayv Malkus for that? Maski for Rabbi Yaakov. So Rabbi Yaakov says, what's the problem? Elamay after the tib al tifnu al oivisrael al yidonim. New, you have a pasuk that says, al, don't turn to oivis and yidonim, meaning don't go ask a baal over baal yidonim to do his magic for you. Hochi namid lo loki. Are you telling me he wouldn't get malchus? If you do a maiseh, then you are going to be chayiv malchus. So just because it says al is not a reason to not be machayivim. So the answer is, you're right. Rabbi Yonasan hochi kashalai. You're right. Rabbi Yonasan's question is not so much about the word al. His question is like this: Lav shenitin lazharas mitzvah spacedin. The word al yetzei ish mekayimai has a double meaning. Not a double meaning. Rashi explains the words al yetzei ish mekayimai really means al yetzei. It means don't carry out from your place on Shabbos. This is in connection with the mon. Moshe is telling them don't go out to collect mon on Shabbos because you're going to be carrying a basket. So we learn from that the concept of not carrying from one reshus to another on Shabbos, and therefore that's a lav that involves Mrs. Bastin, because a person carries on Shabbos and there's Aiden Vasura is high Mrs. Bastin. The whole lav shenifin lazharas Mrs. Bastin and Lurkin Olive. We have a general rule that where there's a lav that involves Mrs. Bastin, you don't get Malkus for it. So how is a person getting Malkus for walking outside the tomb if we're learning it from a pasuk that's talking about carrying on Shabbos? The answer is Amar Rav Ashi, Miksiv Al Yotzi. No, because the pasuk doesn't say don't carry out. Al Yotzi, Ksiv. The pasuk B'chlal is not talking about carrying. The pasuk is talking about not going out of the Tchum on Shabbos. So therefore, yes, once we establish that Al is a valid kind of lav, and you can get Malkus for it, then yes, you can get Malkus for this as well. Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's explanation for a few different reasons, and so Tosfos explains differently. The original assumption of the Gemara was that the word Al Yotzi has a double. It means, what does it mean? It means don't go out to collect mon. Going out to collect mon is going to involve two things. It's going to involve walking outside the tomb and carrying a basket. So the question is, it involves something which is a chiyuv mrs. Bastian. So how can you be chayiv malchus for the other thing that we're learning from the positive, namely tumen?
Once you get the mitzvah, you don't get
not so much once you get, it's true once you get mitzvah, you don't get malchus. But we're talking about, in other words, the posik is telling us with one word, al yetzei, is telling us don't go outside the tomb, as well as don't go even within the tomb into Rosh Hashanah carrying a basket. So what if a person goes outside the tomb without a basket? There's no actual Mrs. Bastin over there, but still, how can you get Malkus on such a lab where one purpose of a lab is to teach us Mrs. Bastin? And the answer is it's not. It's saying Al Yetzei, and therefore the primary meaning of the pasuk is not to go outside the tomb. It's not really addressing so much the question of whether you're allowed to carry. It's true. The fact is the pshat of the pasuk is that it does mean both. But since instead of the word al yotzi, since it uses the word al yotzi, then therefore we say we're mainly focusing on the tum, not so much on carrying. And therefore it's true. We do learn carrying is osur and is chayiv misa from this pasuk. But since the pasuk is phrased in such a way to just mention walking, then therefore you can be chayiv malchus for it. Hadron Allah Mabu. Yeah, everyone.